This is the Kempish Chronicle podcast, yep. And we're back with Ball Knowledge Ben.
We're back, man. It's been a little bit. Good to be back here.
We got a couple of sports topics today for you guys.
Yep.
How are you feeling about the Bears? I know you wrote a story about it recently.
We don't talk about that Lions game. That Lions game was unreal. I thought we had a real chance. So my story here. I've been thinking a lot about how to fix the Bears. And I think the first reason is just you got to sell the team, right? You know, you sell, you have to sell the team. Like, you see what the Commanders have done, right? They sold their team. They were a terrible run organization for so many years. And then they had a terrible owner. And then they sell their team. And then they bring in a new coach, Dan Quinn. They bring in Jaden Daniels. And now they're one of the best teams in the NFL. So I think the Bears need to do that. I think that the Bears have owned, the McCaskies have owned this team for like 100 years now. And I think, you know, they need to step down because, you know, they've been through the goods and the bad of the Bears, you know, and, as much as I don't like them, they have been good through the Bear, through the team. And, I think that our GM just needs to sign better free agents. You know, he's signed some good free agents like TJ Edwards, Kevin Byard, DeAndre Swift.
Y'all had Keenan Allen that 1 year.
Yeah, but I mean, we're talking about like long-term free agents. He traded for DJ Moore. Those are some of the good free agents, but I just feel like that, like, especially this year, like he hasn't, you know, signed the good enough free agents for us to compete. And, you know, you can see it in our games, you know, like I remember last game against the Lions, got Jared Goff had like 10 seconds to throw the ball.
Let go of Khalil Mack.
I know, exactly. Like, he had all day in the pocket to throw, and like I wish we would have brought back Khalil Mack this offseason because I think he really would have helped with our edge, with our defensive line. And I mean, Montez Sweat's okay. He's not like an elite pass rusher, but I was hoping that we would have signed somebody like a Za'Darius Smith, you know, coming over, you know, from the Lions with Ben Johnson.
Traded for Micah?
I was hoping, man. And then he went to the Packers. I mean, you know, it wouldn't be a big deal if he went to like the Patriots or a different team, but like for him to go to our biggest rival that we, you
know, the Cowboys let him go to the Packers.
That's the thing I don't understand too, is like, if you're the Cowboys, right? Like, I mean, why would you trade him away? Like, he's literally your star.
Yeah, first
of
all, why would you trade him away? But like, he just signed Dak and CeeDee to all these big extensions. Yeah. So like, you either have to pay Micah or send him somewhere that you're not going to, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Regret.
Yeah, and like
later.
Dak,
like, he's like a Hall of Fame type player.
I know. Like, but like Dak gets hurt all the time in the playoffs. Like, he does well in the regular season. He'll guide his team to the playoffs, and then the playoffs just come. He doesn't do well, and I don't know why. You know, they re-signed Dak. I think that was a mistake. I mean, I think Dak's a great quarterback, but he just can never stay healthy. I mean, in his career, he's been in the league for what now, like 9 years, and it's hard to believe 9 years. But like, he just really has not stayed healthy, and I think that's holding the Cowboys back, you know, Dak being healthy. And
I really don't think he's worth $60 million.
Oh, no, he's not even close. And I think it's CeeDee Lamb is carrying the Cowboys. And, you know, Jerry Jones, he's been the owner for a long time. You know, he's been there with Troy Aikman and Deion and Emmitt Smith and Michael Irvin.
I think his time's almost up.
I know. He was a good GM back in the 90s. Like, he needs to realize that, like, the modern day NFL has changed. Like, you know, you don't have Troy Aikman anymore. You don't have Deion. You don't have Emmitt Smith. Like, you got to move on. Like, Dak is a great quarterback. I'm not going to take that away from him. But just in terms of like stats and results, he just doesn't have it. I mean, he gets hurt all the time.
Like, the 1 year they had, what was it, 2016, prime Zeke, prime Dak.
Oh, and they had Dez Bryant, too.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and then Dez Bryant leaves, and they still couldn't even do anything. I mean, even with Tony Romo, they still could never get over the hump. And
they've just been so mediocre.
I know, and like, they fired Mike McCarthy, and it's not Mike McCarthy's problem. I mean, you could throw Andy Reid in the Cowboys coach, and it wouldn't change. I mean, just like with the Bears, like, it's not going to change unless the owners sell the team. And I think that's what's holding the Cowboys back is ownership. Jerry Jones, you know, he's going to be in the Hall of Fame, but like, I just think that like, he needs to move on. He needs to realize that like, times are changing. You know, this isn't the 90s anymore. You don't have Emmitt Smith. You don't have, you know, Troy Aikman. You don't have Deion. You don't have all those players. You know, you got to move on. And if you want to win a Super Bowl, you know, which is probably never going to happen with the Cowboys again, but like, if you want to win, you got to go far. And like I was saying, for the Bears, like, the Bears were held back last year by some terrible coaching decisions by Matt Eberflus. He was the reason why we only won 4 games. You know, we could have easily won 8 games if we had an actual good head coach. For example, when he took over for Matt Nagy, I wasn't a big fan of this hire and still question why Poles made that hire. Matt Eberflus has been... The thing I criticize the most about Ryan Poles is like why he kept Matt Eberflus around for the 2024 season. With the Bears having a bad season in 2023, Eberflus should have been fired before the start of the 2024 season, as Eberflus cost us 3 to 4 games last season due to terrible coaching decisions that cost us a chance to win. Like last year against the Commanders, the Hail Mary, that was, oh my God. I still remember watching that game in my bedroom. And we were getting dominated all night. And in the fourth quarter to fight back and, you know, to score that touchdown with Swift with like, I think it was like 30 seconds left. And the Commanders, it was like, I think it was like 1 second left. And Matt Eberflus had 3 timeouts left. He doesn't call one. And the Commanders get a touchdown.
Run down the field.
Yep. We run him. We literally let him like scramble and let him throw for like 30 seconds. And we could have called a timeout and thought this through. We didn't do that. And then last year, again, against the Lions, not calling a timeout with like 27 seconds left, letting the clock run down. And not trotting Santos out there for a field goal. I mean, what are you doing, bro? Like, you have 3 timeouts left. Like, use them. Like, and we could have kicked the field goal and gone to overtime, but Matt Eberflus doesn't know what the heck he's doing and cost us the game because of that. And another game was against the Packers last year in November. Not getting in better field goal range because, you know, our kicker, Carlos Santos, kicks a low ball. And what did Matt Eberflus do? Again, he sat on the ball for 40 seconds, didn't try to run another play, and he just let 40 seconds run off, and we just settled for a 45-yard field goal, and it got blocked because our coach did not call a timeout and did not want to get in better field goal range. Field goal got blocked because of that. And I think, you know, keeping him around because of that, I mean, why, man? Like, he should have been fired before the start of 2024 season. Like, he's not a good coach. And speaking of that, he's actually the Cowboys defensive coordinator now, and we play them this Sunday. So if we lose to Eberflus, I think we might have serious problems. I think I seriously might stop watching this team forever. Like, you cannot lose to the worst head coach, like, in Bears history. Like, not even close. Like, if you get cooked by his defense, by the way, the Cowboys defense is not good. No. And if you can't even win
maybe
that game.
Their best defensive player.
I know. And if you can't even beat the Cowboys, there's a serious problem. Like, we might have to just riot the whole entire city of Chicago. Like, I'm serious. Like, if you cannot lose to Matt Eberflus and the Cowboys, like the Cowboys are probably the most boring team in the NFL. Hire their offensive coordinator as a head coach when they could have hired, you know, like
hired anyone else.
Yeah, anybody
Brian
else.
You, Schottenheimer, who like, was
bro,
that?
Like, exactly. Who was the who only was reason why he's coaching because of his dad? Like, I mean, bro, that was the lamest hire ever. Like, you could have at least gone out and interviewed other people. Why did you have to just hire your offensive coordinator? Like, I mean, that's another reason why the Cowboys are never going to do anything. I mean, you got to think outside the box. Like, I liked Mike McCarthy. I don't think he was the problem at all. I think the problem was Dak. But, like, if you want a new regime in there, you got to get somebody with an offensive mind. Like, a Kellen Moore, I think they should have hired. Like, I kept telling people last year, they should have hired Kellen Moore because he was a great offensive coordinator with the Eagles. Well, you got to realize it is the Eagles. The Eagles can make any offensive coordinator look good with that offense.
Saquon Barkley.
I know, but like, that's the thing is like, Cowboys should have hired him, and he was the offensive coordinator with the Cowboys for a long time with Jason Garrett, and I think they could have hired him, and I think that, you know, he went on to go to the Saints, which I think the Saints are going to be bad too. But
Saints
yeah.
are going to go 1-15-1.
Bears better dominate. If we don't dominate,
if they lose to the Saints. Call the season.
Yeah. I'm going to say this right now. If we lose to the Saints and the Cowboys, I'm done watching this team.
They're going to overtime forever, with the Saints.
Forever. Like, I get a win as a win, but like, bro, think about it. It's the Saints. Like, Spencer Rattler is their quarterback. And
they're throwing Chris Olave hospital balls.
Yeah, exactly,
game.
Bro. He can barely even throw like past 10 yards, bro. Like, you can ill afford to lose. Like, if you're Ben Johnson, you know, we've raved about him all offseason. Him and Caleb are going to do well. You know, him and... this offense is going to work. And, you know, Caleb has struggled at times. You know, he's overthrown guys. I'm not going to blame all of it on Caleb Johnson. I mean, on Caleb Williams. I don't think he's a bust. I think that, you know, he misses throws. Every quarterback does. But you can't blame Caleb for all of it. You know, it's a team, right? You know, our defensive line is terrible. Our coach has made some questionable decisions. But, yeah, I mean, I hope the Bears can turn it around. You know, we should be 1-1 right now, but we're not. You know, it's the Bears. I don't know why I get my hopes up every year. You know, nothing's going to change unless they sell the team.
Same thing every year.
And we just extended our GM, too. Like, I don't really understand why. Like, don't get me wrong. He signed good free agents like TJ Edwards and Tremaine Edmonds and Kevin Byard and Joe Tooney he traded for and DJ Moore. But, like, I don't understand why he is still around. Like, why would you extend him? Like, he's made some good moves, but like, he's also made some questionable moves. Like I said, keeping Matt Eberflus around for another year when he should have been fired before the season. And, you know, people are going to think drafting Caleb was a mistake. Like, I don't think Caleb's a bust. I think, you know, give Caleb time. You got to realize the guy's had to learn a whole new offense in like 8 months. So it's not easy going from Matt Eberflus. And he's had three different head coaches in his rookie year. And that's, you know, you don't see that everywhere. So I think, you know, I'm hoping we can beat the Cowboys. We got to beat the Cowboys at home. And if we let down our fan base, we're going to cancel the season, man.
We're cooked.
And the Chiefs, too, man. I don't know what's going on with them. 0-2.
He's 0-2.
Should be 1-1. Actually, it should be 2-0. If Kelce catches the ball,
game
over.
That turns to the interception. Oh, man.
Kelce needs to focus, man. Like,
he's too focused on T-Swift.
I know.
Right
he's
now.
Too focused on T-Swift. Like, bro. Focus on what's going on right now. Like, Mahomes is a great quarterback. You know, he I might have blamed him for a couple throws, but like, this Chiefs offense.
He had the most rushing yards both games.
That's dude. Not good.
Like, that's not. That is your quarterback not, should not have the most rushing yards.
No, heck no. And especially Mahomes.
They
he's
got
a pocket.
Pacheco and who they signed,
Kareem Hunt. Yeah, from last year. Like, that's not good. Like, you can't have your quarterback be the leading rusher of your team. Like, don't get me wrong. I love Mahomes, but like, you can't do that. It's just not. It's not reasonable. And like, Kelce, you know, for as long as he's played, you know, he's the best tight end in the league, and I think. He needs to catch the ball, right? You need to lock in and you need to catch that ball. If you catch that ball, game over. Chiefs win. Chiefs should be at least should be 1-1 right now. But I mean, you can't lose to the Chargers on a Friday night. I don't care when it is.
To Quentin Johnson,
the guy who should be released. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love Jim Harbaugh. He's a great coach. He's went everywhere he's gone. But I'm sorry. You can't lose to a divisional opponent. If it was a different team, okay, I wouldn't care. But like a divisional opponent like the Chargers, like. I'm sorry. I don't care where you're playing at. You can't lose to the Chargers on Friday in Brazil. I mean, I get Worthy got banged up, but like Mahomes won a Super Bowl with a terrible receiving core. So like
dude's off the street.
I know. Even without Tyreek, he still won an MVP. Like, so something's wrong with the Chiefs. I don't know what it is. Hopefully today we'll get it figured out this Sunday against the Giants to get back on track. But like if you're the Chiefs, you gotta win, man. Like teams have figured you out. Like, the division's not yours anymore. It's not anymore. Like, it's not going to be an easy path to winning a division. Like, you lost to the Chargers. Chargers are a good team. Broncos are getting better. The Raiders are getting there. Like, this division has good coaches. Pete Carroll's a good coach. Jim Harbaugh's a good coach. Sean Payton's a good coach. All these guys have been in Super Bowls and won Super Bowls. So, this isn't the same old division where the Chiefs just win easily. You know, this division has great coaches. And you're going to have to realize that the Broncos are getting better. Raiders are getting better, and the Chargers are getting better. So,
Chiefs got the Giants. Sunday Night Football.
Is it at home or away?
It's at the Giants.
That should be... I'd say they win by 2 touchdowns. You know, if the Chiefs can take care of business. If you know, I think if Kelce can catch the ball when they need to, if the Chiefs can execute on their drives, not get field goals, we're talking about like actual scoring, I think the Chiefs will win that game. And if you lose to Russell Wilson, like a washed-up Russell Wilson...
He's just throwing moon balls.
Yeah, like... You can't lose to the Giants. I'm sorry. Like you just can't. Like if you're the Chiefs, you can ill afford to go 0-3. I don't think they will, but you know, get back on track, have a good week of practice. You know, execute. We need to execute on. And Kelce, please, please, please catch the ball.
Like, focus on football. Buddy,
yeah, focus
not
on
T-Swift.
Football. You can focus on T-Swift once you're retired. Focus on this season, and then you can focus on T-Swift once you're retired. Like. I think all the off-season stuff has gotten to his head. Like, you need to focus on football right now. Football is the main thing. Focus on T-Swift in the off-season. So, yeah. I think the Chiefs will win. I really do. I don't think they're going to go 0-3. I mean, they have Mahomes, the best QB. He's still the best QB in the world. I mean, I don't think there's anybody better than him. And so, yeah.
Let me tell you what I think the Bears should have done these last few
years. Let me hear it.
So... They made that amazing DJ Moore trade.
Yes.
I love that
trade. Great trade.
I love that trade.
Yes.
They got DJ Moore and they sent the first overall pick to the Panthers.
And we got Carroll because of it.
Yep. And they got Bryce Young from that pick, but they also received the next year's Panthers pick, which turned into the number one overall pick.
Yeah, we got Romo Dunze.
And Romo Dunze from that. And I think that the Bears in 2024 should have traded that number one overall pick and kept Justin Fields. Or in spite of that, pick Jaden Daniels instead of Caleb Williams. I was a big Jaden Daniels fan.
I agree with you on that. I think who knows if Jaden would have been good. You know, we keep saying this. What if Patrick Mahomes would have been good on the Bears? What if Jaden Daniels would have been good on the Bears? You know, we don't know, and we're never going to know. And, you know, I don't know why the Bears pass on him. I think he would have been a great quarterback. But, like, I don't think, I mean, people were calling Caleb Williams a bust, and he threw 3,541 passing yards with a terrible head coach, like I just said, and a terrible O-line and a terrible GM. I mean, you don't see that. I mean, Caleb had, I mean, he had Matt Eberflus. Let me say this one more time. He had Matt Eberflus as his head coach, possibly the worst head coach of all time as his head coach. He had Thomas Brown as his interim head coach. And then he had a terrible office coordinator in Shane Waldron. And don't get me wrong, I love Caleb, but there are some, you know, I'm not going to just blame the whole entire thing on Caleb. I think the defense didn't do right. You know, like you said, I think if we would have gotten Jaden, who knows, maybe it would have been different. But I mean, I don't know. I mean, we go through the same thing every year. So, yeah.
They even got a pick to get Luther Burden from this year.
I mean,
well,
he hasn't even caught one ball this season, or Colson Loveland. Like, I get like running two tight end sets because that's what Ben Johnson likes to do with the Lions. But like, if you're going to draft a guy with a 10th pick and a tight end, you might as well use him.
And on top of that, they picked Colson Loveland in front of Tyler Warren. I did not like that pick at all.
I didn't either. Like,
Tyler Warren has like 11 catches this season, and
Colson Loveland doesn't even have one.
Has like 12 yards.
Yeah,
this season.
Like, I get why Ben Johnson wanted to pick him because, like, you know, like he's like Laporta and like another tight end with the Lions. Like, he wants to run two tight end sets, but like, Tyler Warren won the Mackey Award, and I like when the Bears picked Colson Loveland, like, I was like, oh my God, they did it again. Like, oh my God, when is this ever going to change? Like, it's not. Like,
Tyler Warren's on the board, 10th overall.
He literally right there. I told my dad this. I always remember this. We were sitting in our living room with the Bears' 10th pick, and I kept telling my dad, I was like, we got to pick Tyler Warren.
Like, Tyler Warren fell to you.
Like, literally fell right in your hands. Like, the like most obvious selection of all time. And what do the Bears do? They take Colson Loveland, who, like, bro, why? Just, I understand why they took a tight end, but like, if you're gonna take a tight end that high, he might as well, like, you're expecting him to be good, like a Greg Olsen or a Kelce type. Like, I mean, and look how Tyler Warren's doing now on a team that doesn't even have doesn't even have a good quarterback. Daniel Jones as his quarterback.
Danny Dimes.
I mean, good God. I mean, the Bears should have taken him, and I think if he was on the Bears, he would do so much better than Colson Loveland. I mean, I kept telling my dad, we got to take him. He's already right there. I mean, if other teams aren't going to take him, you got to take him right there. I was hoping the Bears would have gotten Asgenti, but once the fifth kick came around, I was like, okay, I know the Raiders are going to take him. Like, if the Bears don't trade up, the Raiders are going to take him, and they did. And if we would have got Asgenti, I think we would have a lot better run game. Like I said, I think Caleb Johnson's better. I'm not saying Asgenti is not a good running back. He's a good running back. I just don't think he's Heisman worthy, right?
Oh, no.
No.
If he comes to one of those Power 5 schools, he's not doing the same thing.
I mean, I get he ran well against Oregon, but like, you got to do
Oregon's
it every
the only
week.
Game that
he,
that
Penn State,
like,
he'd even do well, yeah, too. No. And Penn State's
they
the same team
up.
Every year. I know. So, like, I mean, I don't know.
Like, all of his stats, Justin, all of his numbers are cool and everything, but,
yeah,
like, Travis Hunter playing both sides of the ball.
Like I said, like, he's going to get tired because then you got to do – and he could return punts too.
Yeah,
like,
punts.
You have to return
he
punts.
He has to know the defensive schemes, offensive schemes.
Exactly.
Know everything.
Like, you got to return punts, then kicks. Then you have to go on defense, and then you have to go back on offense. Like, dude never gets a break. Like, dude is him. Like, I actually think he's the next Deion Sanders. Like, eventually he's going to have to realize that he's going to have to pick one or the other position to play. I think he's a better corner, but – it's insane to see what he does. I mean, for him to do that, I mean, 16, he's 22 years old. He's a rookie. For him to do that and not get, I mean, a dude doesn't even get a break at all. I mean, if he's the punt returner and the kick returner, you got to do punts, kicks, defense, and offense. You got to learn an offensive playbook, then you got to know a defensive playbook. And it's just, I mean, I think Justin Fields, I like Justin Fields. He was good. But, I mean, I think it was,
it was just one of those times that they had to break up. Like, Baker Mayfield and the Browns, Daniel
that,
Jones.
That was the worst decision in history.
Baker Mayfield, they should have.
Like, literally led you to the playoffs.
The worst franchise in the league.
Yes,
like,
2 years in a row. Before they got Myles Garrett and Baker Mayfield, literally led you to the playoffs.
Led them to the playoffs for, like, the first time and whatever, and won a playoff game for them.
And then you just trade him away for nothing.
And they literally would have been in the Super Bowl if they called that Chiefs. What was it? He, like, had head on and it went into the end zone. Did you see that?
No, I don't.
It was like tie game, and they could have took the lead on the Chiefs to go.
Oh,
to the
I know
Bowl.
What game you're talking about. I know
and,
what game.
And the ball went into the end zone, but it was like targeting Loki. Like,
I know
hit him in the helmet. It
yeah, crazy. I mean, I think Justin Fields would have worked out. I really do. I'm not saying he's a bad quarterback. I love Justin, just like I loved Mitch Trubisky. Mitch Trubisky had flashes, and I don't know why we got rid of Mitch. Mitch was a great quarterback. You know, he made the Pro Bowl in his first year. He was great under Nagy, and I think, you know, once Nagy left and Mitch left, I think things just changed. We got Justin, who, when we got Justin, like, that was so critical. Like, I didn't even know what to think. Like, I couldn't even go to sleep that night. I was like, the Bears just got Justin Fields? Like, are we for, like, did we actually make a good decision, like, in our, like, for the first time in forever? Like, I think Justin Fields would have worked out. I mean, on the Bears. I mean, he showed flashes. He was a great runner. He's a way better runner than Caleb is. I'll give him that. But who knows? I mean, Justin was good, and I don't think we should have got rid of him. I think Caleb's a good quarterback, too, but I think it was just time for a change. And if Caleb doesn't work out, then we can't keep doing this quarterback thing, man. Like, Mitch was a good quarterback. I don't know why we ever got rid of him. Justin wasn't a decent quarterback. I don't know why we got rid of him. And if Caleb can throw for 4,000 yards, which I think he's going to, you know what? That's crazy. No Bears quarterback has ever done for 4,000 yards. And if we would have kept Mitch Trubisky, I guarantee you he would have done for 4,000 yards. And if we would have kept Justin Fields, either one of those would have done for 4,000 yards. They were just not there long enough.
They just have a bunch of what-if scenarios.
I know. Like, we keep going through quarterback after quarterback. Like, when is it ever going to change? Like, we're never... Like, we keep living in 1985. We're not 85 anymore. You know, we have to realize that. You know, the NFL is so much more different now. And all these... The one thing I don't like is, like, this new kickoff rule. It makes the NFL look... I tell people this all the time. It makes them look so soft. Like, I get you want to have player safety. I understand that. But, like, these guys know what to sign up for. They're going to get hit hard. It's part of the game. You know? And this new kickoff rule, like, how many injuries actually come on the kickoff rule? Like, not a lot. And, like, the ball comes out to a 35-yard line. Like, what is this? Like, they're doing that. You know why they're doing that? It's because they want more touchdowns. She goes more money. And I think... doing that is really dumb. I mean, I think Roger Goodell has done a pretty good job about that stuff, but like the 35-yard line, I mean, that's almost sort of the logo for Christ's sake. It's just crazy to think that like we're living in a world now where, I mean, the NFL has done this, and like we got Iowa Rutgers tonight on a Friday on Fox. I will be tuning in. I will be at Northwest Prairie game. Go Wolves. We're 4-0. We're looking to make it 5-0 right now. So, all right, no, we're 3-0, looking to be 4-0, and let's go Wolves, baby. Can't wait to watch us beat Prairie. So, you know, I just want Iowa to play well. Do what they did against UMass. You know, pass the ball, get everybody going, get the run game going. I think Kamari Moulton's gonna be back, which is big for Iowa. And if they can get the run game going, the last time they played Rutgers at Rutgers, it was 2022. Cooper DeJean had a pick six, and that's kind of where the legend of Cooper DeJean really started in that game. That's where he kind of really took off, and I always remember that game. That was a great game. And then last time we played Rutgers was 2023. I was actually at that game. We beat them. I don't remember what the score was, but just do what you did against UMass. Open up the passing game. Get Moulton going in the running game, and defense just do their thing. You know, defense is always going to be elite. You know that. And you know, Kirk got his 206 win. It's against UMass at a game that I was at, and it was just so good to see. You know, Iowa open up the passing game. You know, I get it was UMass, but like, for Iowa to pass the ball around, and they scored in, I think, like 30 seconds, I think that might have been the quickest drive ever in Iowa history. Like, I didn't believe what I saw. Like, I get it, UMass. I get they're not a good team, but, like, for Iowa to do that, though, it was just so crazy, and it was just so, like, that's what you want to see, right? As an Iowa football fan, we haven't seen that in years, you know, with Cade McNamara, Deacon Hill, and Spencer Petras. Like, we had never seen that before, and I really do think that, you know, We're going to win a lot of games this year. You know, some people think we're not going to be good, and I don't know. We'll see how many games. I think the Rutgers game.
I don't know about these ones coming up. They got Indiana, Penn State, and
I'm going to be at the Indiana game. So I think we'll beat Rutgers tonight. I think it'll be close. I think we'll win. We could beat Indiana. I don't know. Indiana's
toss up. But Penn State.
We're not winning that.
Penn State.
We're losing.
No. Well, I think I'll be at that game.
I don't like Penn State, but like, you got to realize they're the same team every year. They're 10-2, go to the Fiesta Bowl, and they lose. Like
that one year that they beat Penn State at home, that was magical.
With Spencer Petras as your quarterback. I always remember Gus Johnson's call. I've told people this all the time, he's one of the only announcers that, like, I want to watch a game because he's calling the game, right? His energy, his passion makes me want to watch a game. And him and Joel Klatt are just, he's just such a good announcer, and I just love him. I always remember his call. He was, got touchdown Iowa. You know, he's just it's almost like he's like crying when he's talking because he loves the game so much, and he's just so invested into what he does. And I'm hoping we can have that same magic again this year. It's at Canuck. I'm going to be at the game. But, like, when are people going to realize that, like, James Franklin's not the guy? Like, you can't keep finishing 10-2 every year and expect to win that championship. Like, if you're Penn State, who's going to win an I don't think they might win a natty this year. As much as I hate to say it, like, I think they have all the pieces. Like, when is Penn State ever going to realize that, like, James, if they want to get over the hump to win a championship, when are they going to realize that James Franklin is not the guy? Like, finishing 10-2 every year, like, at some point, you got to realize, like, is this enough? Is this going to get us over the hump to win a championship? And I don't think it is. I mean, I love James. I don't like James Franklin as a coach, but, like, you can't lie with the results. I mean, Oregon, we got to play Oregon at home too. Oregon is looking pretty good. I don't think we'll win that. We could. I'm a diehard Iowa fan. You got to think realistic, but, like, I don't know if we're going to beat Oregon. We might. I think we're going to lose to Penn State. We might not beat Oregon. We could be. I think out of any of the home games we have, I think Indiana could be our biggest upset we could win this year. And
they got Minnesota at home.
Michigan State. That should be a win. We're not going to talk about what happened the last time we played Minnesota at home. That's over now. We're over that. I will say Minnesota got lucky. I'll say that for all you Minnesota fans out there. You guys got lucky.
Too lucky.
You got too lucky. So
I got USC at USC.
See, here's the thing. Iowa does not play well in California time. But remember 2019, they played against USC in the Holiday Bowl. And you know who was calling that game? Gus Johnson. I'll always remember that. That's probably my favorite Iowa game of all time. We played against USC 2019 Holiday Bowl. And we just, you know, going into the game, I thought we were going to lose, right? I thought that USC is just so much more talented. And I thought USC was just going to run all over us, you know, like USC is used to. And we dominated. Amirsef Marset had 3 touchdowns, scoring on punt returns, kick returns, you name it. And
I loved Amir Smith.
Oh my God, he was so good. I always remember the game against USC, like I just talked about. He was just going off, man. And he had a punt return touchdown. And you know, just to hear Gus Johnson call that game, honestly, just a legend, man. I'm so glad that we had him. And so I'm not gonna say that we can't beat Penn State. I mean, sorry, I'm not gonna say we can't beat USC because I've seen it before, and it's in California. And you know USC in that 2019 game had the home crowd because, you know, obviously they're in California. So, but last year we saw Iowa play against UCLA and they lost to a team that didn't even make a bowl game. And UCLA is probably one of the worst teams in college football this year.
They just fired their coach, right?
I know, and like
they got Nico over
there. Yeah, like bro, like I understand you want to take like money, but like bro, like look at Tennessee now, they're doing really good. Like why would you want to leave?
Stayed in Tennessee.
I know
you could have made the playoff potentially
and made the NFL and be a first round pick. Like
now he's at UCLA.
And now look at your situation.
Have to transfer.
Exactly, he's got to transfer again because he transferred to USC and he made a big mistake. I think Nico transferring to UCLA is one of the dumbest decisions he's ever made because like I get money and stuff, but like. You were literally doing good things at Tennessee.
He literally would have had more money if he just stayed at Tennessee.
Exactly.
And didn't beg for a Lamborghini, $4 million. He got like such a pay cut now at UCLA.
Yeah, and look how it's showing out. You're not your team is 0-3 and you just fired your coach. Yeah, like
fired their coach. He's gonna have to transfer again.
Yeah, and then he's gonna want to get money from even more places, and he's not gonna do well there. So like
he might as well just
get
the Indeed profile going.
Yeah, like bro, get a job. Like you're not going to make the NFL. Like he would have made the NFL if he was at Tennessee. So that's the thing I don't get is like, you know, you play the game because you love the game, right? You know, if I were to play, I want to play for the money, right? And if you truly love the game of football, you want to transfer 4 different times. Like you see these guys who transfer like 4 different times, like from school to school to school. And we all know why. It's because of money. It's like, bro, like play the game you love. Like if you're starting for 3 years at somewhere at like a MAC school or a lower division school, stay where you are because I know you want to like increase your draft stock, but people will find you regardless of what conference you're playing in. I get all the money and stuff if somebody's obviously in your bag, but like I wouldn't play for money. I would just play because I love the game. You know, you're here because of football. You know, you're not here because of money. And I get what Nico's doing, but like look at your team. Like you really want to be 0-3 and not win any games. And look how Tennessee's doing. They're doing really good. Like you have a much better chance of competing for a conference title at Tennessee than you do at UCLA. Just straight up reality. So I think what Nico did was a mistake, and it was a dumb decision.
Disastrous decision.
It was a terrible decision. He never, ever should have. But that's where we live in now, and that's why I hate NIL. It's because, like, you see situations like Nico where guys want a bunch of money, and teams can't give it to them, and then they go somewhere else, and they get that money, but then they don't play well. So, I mean.
He had to sit behind who? Joe Milton?
Joe Milton and Hendon Hooker. Yeah. And those
great
guys,
quarterback.
Those are great. Yeah, they were great quarterbacks. But I think Nico had the potential to be even better than both of them, and he just wasted.
We saw that against Iowa, right?
Yep, in the bowl game.
In the bowl game, yep. And he smoked them.
Yeah, he just. I mean, because he had good playmakers around him. He had good coaching style, and the SEC is one of the best conferences in football. And going to the Big Ten was a mistake. Never should have gone there. I don't know why he ever did that, and he's not going to make the NFL because of that. So if you're a college football athlete out there and you're looking to get into football, don't do what Nico did because it's going to hurt you. And yeah, just don't do it.
Follow in Nico's footsteps.
Do not. And you know, Nico looked great against Iowa. I'll give you that. But like, you shouldn't do that. Like, you should play because you love the game. You shouldn't play because of the money. Like that's what I would do personally. But yeah, what else we got? I'm trying to think here. We got Iowa basketball dropped their schedule. Did you see that yesterday?
Yep. And the women's too.
Yep. I'm so, like, I don't think I've ever been this excited for the Iowa men's basketball team in a long time. Like, hiring a guy that grew up a fan of the team, like, Ben McCollum grew up an Iowa fan. He grew up going to Iowa games. And I think having a guy that can connect to the fans, connect to the players, and recruit in the state of Iowa. You know, he's from here. And he, you know, he's proven that he can win anywhere he's gone. He won at Northwestern Missouri State, a D2 school. He won one season at Drake, and he pretty much, his whole entire roster, I think I saw something like his whole entire roster at Drake was a bunch of D2 players. And he said that, like, we won with a bunch of D2 players on our team. And I get it's the Missouri Valley Conference, but like, they did good in the NCAA tournament. Like, I picked Drake
really
to beat
good, yeah.
They did really good.
I took them to the Sweet 16.
Yeah, I had them beating Missouri, and they look pretty good. I mean, Bennett Sturts is a great player. I can't wait to see how he's going to do. They brought over Tavion Banks, Joey Mattioni. They got Brendan Housen. They brought over Isaiah Howard, Cale Combs, Cam Manuel. So I'm really looking forward to the season. I think, you know, I don't think I've ever been this hyped about an Iowa basketball team in a long time. You know, I liked Fran. Fran was a good dude, right? He developed players like Luca Garza, Joe Wieskamp, the Bohannon, the Murray twins. You can't take it away from him. But just in terms of like results, like even when Luca Garza was there, I think his senior year, we lost to Oregon in the second round. Like, that can't happen. And having Keegan Murray on your team in 2021, Iowa had Keegan Murray. And they lost to Richmond in the first round.
First round.
Like I was sitting there in Florida. I was like, we just lost to Richmond? Like, we had Keegan Murray, who was a great player at Iowa. Him and his brother were great players. And you lost to Richmond. And like, it's just, I am so excited to see what Ben McCollum is going to do. I think we're going to win a lot of games. I think that, you know, the chemistry, you know, Ben McCollum's brought over a lot of guys that has played with him before and knows his system at Northwest Missouri State and at Drake. And I just, I'm so excited for the Iowa men's basketball team. Like, I don't think I've ever been this much excited. And, you know, Ben McCollum is such a great hire. I'm so glad that Iowa hired him. And he's just, like I said, like, he can relate to the fans so much because he grew up going to camps here. He grew up idolizing, you know, players. And I think he can, you know, he can recruit in the state of Iowa. He can get those, you know, those under-recruited kids because he was one of those guys, right? He was one of those guys that was lightly recruited, that wasn't recruited highly out of high school. And he can bring them in and he can do something well with them. So, So I'm really, really excited for Iowa basketball this year. I think that it's going to take some time to develop chemistry, but I'm just so excited, man. I can't wait for it. Season can't get here quite enough. So,
and the women try to repeat their success as last season.
Yeah. I think, you know, we saw it last year. Losing Caitlin Clark is obviously huge.
Obviously
huge. I mean, the best women's college basketball player of all time, leaving. And, yeah, I mean, Jan's a good coach. She is. I questioned some of her substitutions last year and some of her in-game management. But, I mean, she's a first-year coach. She's still learning how to become a head coach. She was Lisa Buder's assistant for a very, very long time. I think 24 years. And she actually, you know what's crazy? She actually played for Lisa Buder at Drake. And that was like 1987 when she played. So
long time.
She's on Buder for a long time. And, you know, I think Iowa women's basketball will be back to being elite. You know, I don't think that They're going to be like Caitlin Clark good, but I think that that they're still going to make the tournament. You know, they brought in a great freshman from California, Addie Deal, who I think is going to be a great impact on their team, going to be a great player. I don't think she'll be Caitlin Clark good, but I think she'll have a big impact on Iowa. They brought in Journey Houston from Davenport, who, you know, could start maybe. And then they brought in Layla Hayes from Alaska, who looks to be the next great post at Iowa. So, yeah, and then they got back a lot of great players. Kylie Fearbach's back. Taylor Shremlow. Tegan Mullaney. Stolke's back.
Taylor McCabe.
Yep, sniper from three. Taylor McCabe is a dog. She may not light you up with like stats, but like she hits threes when she needs to, and she's probably my favorite player last year, Taylor McCabe. I can't wait to see how the Iowa women are going to do. It's going to be interesting to see how they go up against teams like Oregon and USC and UCLA, because USC has always been a powerhouse in women's basketball. UCLA has always been a powerhouse in women's basketball. So it's going to be interesting to see how Iowa women do this season. But I think they're going to go back to the tournament. I really do. They pretty much returned everybody from last year. You know, they did lose a few good players. Sydney Fulter, they lost. She was a great player. I think she's on the staff now as a GA, graduate assistant. I think that's a good move. And yeah, so I'm looking forward to it. Iowa men's and women's basketball can't be here. Can't wait for the season to start. And so yeah, I'm also a big Kansas basketball fan too. So can't wait for the season to start. We got a great freshman, Darren Peterson from California, the Prolific Prep. I mean, Kansas is always elite, right? And as long as Coach Self is there, they're always going to be elite. They're always going to have good teams. And I think my favorite Kansas player is Udoka Azubuike. I mean, in 2019, the 2019-2020 team was just so dominant for Kansas. I mean, I truly believe that if the tournament didn't get canceled, I think that Kansas would have won it. I mean, they were so dominant, and it's unfortunate that we didn't get to see that Kansas team, you know, win it all. And you know, Kansas, man, you know, I think they're going to be good again. They always are good. They always will be good. And I'm going to try to hit a couple games this year. I went to the game last year when we played against Iowa State. Yeah, it was in Hilton. Unfortunately, we did not win. But, you know, you can't win every Big 12 conference game. And I think that, you know, for Kansas, you know, the thing that I love about Coach Self is, like, he may not get, like the five-star recruits every year, but, like, every year he develops these like 3 and 2-star guys, and he like puts them in the league like no other. Like Ochai Agbaji was a 2-star recruit, barely recruited at a high school from Kansas City. Christian Brown was lightly recruited.
They had Grady Dick.
Yeah, Grady. He actually grew up a big Kansas fan. I think his sister or somebody went to Kansas. And you know what's crazy? Grady Dick's mom played basketball at Iowa State, which is kind of crazy. But
who's the one on the Nuggets?
Christian Brown. Dog, man. Okay. I remember when he threw down a dunk against Rudy Gobert, and he was just flexing all over him. Like, he doesn't care about what anybody thinks about him. He's a dog. He's one of my favorite players. But that's the thing about Coach Self is, like, Christian Brown was lightly recruited. Ochai Agbaji, Grady Dick was a 5-star recruit. Jalen Wilson, like, he puts these guys in the league that, like, don't have many offers, and he just, like, they win Big 12 Player of the Year. And he does it time in, year in, and year out. And I just think that, you know, I can't wait to see what this Kansas team is going to do. I think that we're going to go far. Last year, I mean, we had the pieces. We got a lot of guys.
Dickinson.
Yeah, that dude was like, bro, like, I loved the guy, but, like, he made everybody around him worse. Like, you could
that's
just
really hard. That's harder to do than make your team better.
I know.
Everyone worse.
Like, when we got, I remember when we
he
got Hunter Dickinson.
Hard to watch.
I know. Like, there was some times I was like, dude, like, I don't think he realizes how tall he is. Like, dude, you're 7'1".
Like, get down on the post. He's shooting threes. He's out here just...
Yeah, like, bro, dunk the ball.
Cruising around the three-point line. Like, go in the paint, buddy.
Exactly. Like, you're 7'1", bro. You shouldn't be shooting threes. Dunk the ball, bro. Like, we could have won so many games last year, but Dickinson missed so many layups, bro. Like when we got Hunter Dickinson, I always remember, I was like, oh, we're winning it, Natty. Like, it's not even going to be close. And we didn't even come... I don't even think the farthest we went with Hunter Dickinson was, like, Elite Eight or Sweet 16, I think. But I don't know.
They had great players, too.
They had Johnny Furphy.
KJ Adams.
KJ, he was
Zeke
underrated.
Zeke Mayo.
Oh, he was a Lawrence kid, yep. Who else was on that team? Parker Brown, Christian Brown.
Daywon Harris.
Yep. I think
Love
he's...
him.
Yeah, he was an underrated player. He was there for so many years, but, like, he wasn't a scorer, but he was just there to, like, pass the ball, and, like, he scored when he needed to, and he's a great point guard. I'm going to miss DeJuan. Forever one of my favorite Kansas point guards of all time. But yeah, I never thought I'd think that somebody would make the team worse, but Hunter Dickinson did, and you know, you can just tell that everybody around him played worse, and we should have won at least 30. We should have gone like 36-3 last year, but we were like 26-12, and usually we don't lose any games at home, and we lost three, and we should have destroyed those teams that we lost to at home, and it's times are changing, and I think that now that Dickinson is gone, you know, we got guys, you know, Foye Badunga's back, Darren Peterson, like I said, is coming in, so I think we're going to get back to being elite, you know. Hopefully that Coach Self can stay healthy, because, you know, he's been in the hospital these past 2 years with the, I think he's been in the hospital, I don't remember what it's for, but I think it was like something major, but I mean, I'm hoping Coach Self can stay. I mean, I don't want him to leave, but I don't know, this might be his last year, and then hopefully that we can, you know, get Jacques Vaughn to be the coach, you know.
Jacques Vaughn, they got him as the assistant.
You know, I love that hire so much because, like, you know, he was a coach in the NBA. You know, he coached guys like Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, James Harden, Ben Simmons. He coached those guys, and he knows what it's like. He knows what it's like to coach at the highest level, and he also knows what it's like to play at the highest level.
He played at Kansas.
Yeah, he played at Kansas too. And he can recruit those guys that are from California because he's from California. And, you know, guys these days want to go to the NBA. That's every kid's dream. And he can tell them what it's like. You know, hey, you know, here's what to expect in the NBA. Here's how to, you know, here's how you go about your day. Here's what to expect. Here's what you do and don't do. And I think that hire is probably the best hire of college basketball. Like, Jacques Vaughn, great hire for Kansas. He played at Kansas. He knows his system. He knows how to go out and get top recruits. And he's been at the highest level. You know, all college kids these days, college basketball players want to play at the highest level. And Jacques Vaughn knows what it's like to be at the highest level because he played at the highest level and he coached. And he can go out and he can recruit those California kids. Like, California has great basketball recruits. Like, Kansas is recruiting this guy right now, Tyron Stokes, number one player in the country for 2026. Kansas and Kentucky are the front runners right now, and if we can get Tyron Stokes, I think Jacques Vaughn is a big part of that, because, you know, Jacques Vaughn is from around the area that Tyron Stokes is from in California, and so if we can hire Jacques Vaughn as our head coach, I'd be so happy. Like, that's not only you're getting a guy that knows the system and played for Kansas, but like I said before, you're getting a guy that can tell these top recruits, hey, you know, I played at the highest level. I coached at the highest level. You know, here's what to expect. Here's what to do. You know, if you want to get to the highest level, here's the work that you got to put in. And so, yeah, I'm so excited for Kansas basketball. I think that it's going to be a great season. So, yeah, the Cubs, man. How about them Cubs, man? You watch
PCA?
Baseball? Well, I remember when PCA was like,
In MVP.
I don't know. He was hitting home run after home run after home run, and then he just went into a slump in August. And, like, I think he hit a home run two nights ago against the Pirates, I believe. And then, I think it was like July or very start of August, he went into a slump. Like, he was hitting home run. He was at like 28 home runs before his slump, and then he only hit one after that. Like, I thought he was on pace to hit like almost 40 home runs or like plus 40 plus home runs. But he's a great player. I can't wait to see what the Cubs are going to do. I mean, they got a great lineup. They got Seiya Suzuki. They got Dansby Swanson, PCA, Kyle Tucker, Seiya Suzuki. They got a great pitching. Cade Horton's looking like he's going to be the NL Rookie of the Year. Who else do they got? They got Colin Ray, who's a very underrated pitcher, great pitcher. They got Carson Kelly, who's a great catcher. So, you know, we lost the division title. The Brewers won that. Yeah, I mean, if we can keep all these guys for next season, I think that we can really contend for the playoffs and actually, you know, go far and not just, you know, just go to the wild card game and lose. Like, if we're the Cubs, we can't wait another 108 years to win a World Series. We just can't. And, you know, I think this Cubs fan, you know, Chicago sports fans have been waiting for something good in their lives. Because the White Sox have been terrible. The Bears have been the Bears. The Bulls haven't been succeeding expectations.
They haven't had nothing since Michael Jordan was in the league.
No, and I mean, Chicago sports fans deserve so much better. Like, us Bears fans, like, NFL fans don't know what we go through every single Sunday. Like teams in our division don't know what we go through every single Sunday. Like, the only two teams in our division to not win a Super Bowl is the Vikings and the Lions. And, you know, that's something the Bears have that the Vikings and Lions don't. I mean, you can criticize our team all you want, but, I mean, at least we have a Super Bowl. So, I think the 85 Bears, that's the best defense of all time. I think best team of all time too. I mean, Walter Payton, Jim McMahon, Willie Gault, Ron Rivera. I mean, that team was just so good. Richard Dent, Mike Singletary. I mean, all those guys. I mean, we haven't won. City of Chicago hasn't won something since 2016. But like football, we haven't won anything since 1985. And I think Chicago sports fans. You know, I have cousins that live in Chicago, and my parents actually live in Chicago too. They used to live like right by Wrigley for a couple years. And I always told them, I was like, we should still live there, because no offense to Iowa. Iowa's cool, but like there's so much more things to do with Chicago. Like when I go to Chicago all the time, see family, like we go by Wrigley, we go by the United Center, we go by, you know, where Northwestern plays, and there's just so much more fun things to do in Chicago, and I wish my parents would have still lived there. And so yeah, I think Chicago sports fans deserve so much better. I mean,
they had that little spurt of D Rose, and then he got hurt.
Yeah, D Rose. Oh man, the legend of
prime D Rose.
I firmly believe if D Rose never got hurt, he could have had like a Michael Jordan like career. I'm not saying like the GOAT, but like could have had like an impact on that. I mean, I think in the last 20 years, he's been the best Bulls player they've ever had. And if he didn't get hurt and they didn't trade him, he would have like be a first ballot Hall of Famer, not even a question. I think he would have led the Bulls to like a couple rings, but yeah, it's unfortunate. I remember when D Rose actually played against Kansas, against Memphis, and he was doing well in 2008. He played against Kansas with Bill Self for Memphis, and his coach actually was John Calipari, who's Arkansas's coach. Great coach. Coach Cal is a great coach, and so yeah, I just treated Chicago to deserve so much better. I mean, we can't keep doing this stuff every single year, man. Same with Iowa too. Like, we can't keep trotting out mediocre offenses and expect to win 8 or 5, 9 games. Like, when is it ever? Like, don't get me wrong, I love Kirk. I think he's a great coach. He's great at putting guys in the league. He's great at putting 2- and 3-star guys in the league. But like, we can't keep doing this stuff every year, man. I mean, my God, like, it's got to end. Like, we can't be the place where quarterbacks go to die. I mean, I think Gronowski's getting better. I think he's starting to learn our system more, but I mean, we've gone through Petras, Deacon Hill, Joe Labus, Cade McNamara, Deacon Hill, Marco Linez.
Cade Jackson. McNamara was supposed to be the change.
I know, and he wasn't good. And he's not even good at Eastern Tennessee. No. Like, geez, like you can't even do well at a...
Should have just stayed at Michigan.
Yeah, I mean, he should have... To be honest with you, I think that they should have started J.J. McCarthy from day one. No offense to McNamara, but I just think J.J. McCarthy was a better quarterback all along. I mean... J.J. McCarthy, you could say J.J. McCarthy was just handing the ball off to Blake Corum. I do think that's what he was. But, like, I mean, you got a great coach in Jim Harbaugh, who was his coach for a long time. And so, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I want Iowa to win tonight. I think we will win. But eventually, we got to step back and realize, you know, when is this going to ever change? When are we ever going to get a new offense? When are we ever going to, you know, just get change, you know? And so, yeah.
About all we have for you guys.
I don't know. Do you got anything else?
Nope.
Oh yeah. I don't think we got anything.
Covered everything?
Let me think here. High school football. We can just crack that up real quick. So yeah, my Milwaukee Northwest Wolves travel to Cedar Rapids Prairie tonight, and we face them. Number 1 versus number 14. Go Wolves, baby. I'm a proud Northwest alum. Always have been, always will be, and hopefully that we play a good game. You know, this team, this Prairie team it's not Iowa City High, right? It's a better team than Iowa City High. I just hope that we keep passing the ball, keep getting the ball to Joe Vineyard and Jordan Green and Isaiah Oliver. Keep getting the ball to those guys, because those are the playmakers that Northwest needs to get the ball to. And when you throw them the ball, good things happen. And they got a good running game. Ryan Woodworth's a good running back. They got a great offensive line, and they bulked it up this year. They got a great defense. I think Northwest will take care of business tonight. And who does Roosevelt?
Shout out Des Moines Roosevelt.
Yep, shout out Des Moines Roosevelt.
They play at MediaCom Stadium tonight.
Ooh.
Dallas Center Grimes.
DCG? Mm-hmm. DCG's gotten a lot bigger, man. Like, it really has. And shout out Theo. Hopefully you do well at Theo Evans.
Clark community.
Clark County, man. Hopefully Theo does well. Theo's a good dude, and I wish him all nothing but the best.
Roosevelt and Clark just recently got blown out 49-0 last week, so
ooh.
Hopefully they look better this
week. Not a good look for Theo, but
Theo's a great guy.
He's a great dude, and but like you got to realize at Hoover, it's kind of hard to win when you don't have athletes.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You don't have.
No one even wants to go out for sports.
Yeah, exactly. Like you can't be good when guys don't want to go out, and like like that's the same with all of the Des Moines schools. Like you don't like, because that's the thing is like the good athletes transfer to places like Dowling and Valley and Southeast Polk. Like they transfer because they don't have any good football team. And if Des Moines schools were to have a football team and those guys, those good athletes were to stay, like Jaden McGregory, for example, he was at North his freshman year and then he transferred here his sophomore year.
Like, I locked him up at Hoover.
I know. You did?
I locked Jaden McGregory up.
Yeah. I mean, if he would have stayed at North, he probably would not be getting all these offers right now.
Absolutely not.
Not even close.
You just can't make it on a Des Moines school.
No, you can't.
You can't make it as a 4-star, 5-star. No one's ever going to see you. Like Chase Henderson, he was low-key like one of the greatest Hoover athletes of all time.
Yep.
And he was a 3-star.
Jeremy Hellickson, Elijah and Abraham Boss. But like, that's the thing I just said. Like, it's hard to win when you don't have good athletes, and all your good athletes go to places like Des Moines, like Valley, Southeast Polk, Dowling.
So when they get these athletes to participate in these sports, then they want to transfer over.
Exactly.
Because they're not going to get any attention. They don't get any recruitment.
Yeah, and that's why they go to those schools, to get better recruitment, to get better coaching, to get better, you know, because they got, no offense to those Des Moines schools, but they have better people throwing them the ball. Like at Dowling, you're going to have better people throwing you the ball. Like Jeffrey Roberts, for example, a guy that was at Ames High School for the past 3 years, probably should have transferred to Dowling just before the last football season. You know, no offense to Ames, but they don't have a good high school football program. And he transfers into Dowling, and he's going to get a lot more looks now because it's Dowling, and they know his strengths, they know his weaknesses, and they're going to utilize him better than Ames did. And he's going to just be a better receiver than he was at Ames, so. Yeah, that's about all I got, man.
All we got. If you want to read Ben's story, I wrote a story as well on the podcast that we did last time with Carl Lindbergh about the acting and everything, that the trip that he had. But if you want to read our stories, you can go to campuschroniclenews.com. And Instagram, TikTok, and X, the @ is DMAC Chronicle. We just recently made a TikTok.
Yep, follow it, man. We got keep some great content. We got some great content going. We're gonna keep posting content. So
awesome content.
Keep following it, man. And come out to Bona 5. You know, if you want to be part of this.
5, room 1136. Get on the podcast.
If you want to be a guest here, come in.
We can write some stories.
Yeah,
we can interview some people. You can just be a camera holder.
Yeah, exactly. Like camera holders. No offense to camera holders. They do a good job. I mean,
everyone's invited, man.
Yep. And it's great. So if you want to do this stuff, come on by, you know, anyone's welcome. So yeah.
We'll see you guys on the next
podcast.
See
ya. Peace.
Another banger. Oh man.